Did God create us or did we create God? This is a very interesting question that is there in many people's mind. So let's address that today. Let's understand, is God a dimension which is the foundation for all? Or is God just a concept or a construct of human mind? Now there are many perspectives here, but here in our channel we explore the Vedantic perspective, which is the deepest and the most direct exploration of what reality is and who we are in our essence that I have ever come across in my life. And this has become my journey, just understanding and sharing the wisdom of Vedanta. So let's unpack this. Of course, there is one God that we have created. There is a concept. There are books that every religion holds on to and says, this is the word of God and my God is the only God, right? There is no other God because my God is ultimate. This is a concept. I was going through a study or a statistic which said there are around 3000 to 3500 religions that are in the world. I'm not exactly sure of this number. It's been a while, but there are thousands and thousands of religions across the world. And every religion has its own explanation of God and has its own concept of God. And almost each of them say that only my God is the right God. Do you see the logical fallacy here? How can thousands and thousands of gods be the only gods? This sort of limited perspective is because of the human nature. We tend to hold on to something. We create an identity for anything and everything. If you own a car, you become a car owner. That is your identity. If you follow a particular religion, that becomes your identity. Even God has become our identity. And this is the God that was made by human beings. It is a concept. It is simply a thought form. But that is not what we will discuss today. Today we will discuss the real meaning of God, the real meaning of that infinite foundation of all existence, the explanation to which was given to us by the ancient rishis of Bharat, of India, who poured their wisdom onto us in the form of the Upanishads and Vedanta, and the great beings who came later like Adi Guru Shankara, Swami Vivekananda, kept this legacy alive and took it to the world. And it has become our mission to take this forward in whatever small way we can. So let's explore this understanding of the Upanishads. The Upanishads say that there is a dimension which is not an object, which is not a concept, which is not a thought form. It is not human construct, but is the foundation for everything. It is a foundational reality upon which everything else rests. Just like clay is the foundational reality of all pots, and just like gold is the foundational reality of all ornaments, and just like how there cannot be any ornaments without gold, and just like how there cannot be any pots without clay, there is a reality without which there is no universe at all. There is no you and me at all. Now that reality is what Vedanta says is God. God is a Western term, but we have sort of made it our own in our community. But the word Vedanta uses is Brahman. And Kena Upanishad says this Brahman cannot be seen, but it enables us to see. It cannot be heard, but it enables hearing. It cannot be thought about, but it enables thinking itself. This is one explanation. There are numerous explanations. There are infinite ways through stories, through allegories, through examples, through direct intellectual frameworks and experiments and meditations that the ancient rishis were trying to tell us and show us the path to the ultimate reality. They have tried everything, and if we just pay some attention and follow through on their teachings, we will easily find the path. We will easily find the truth, because the truth is not far. It is very close to us. God is very close to us. Understanding God, as per Vedanta, is just about understanding your own self, because there is just one reality. The point Shankaracharya tried to make when he was propounding the philosophy of Advaita Vedanta was that if there is one infinite reality, if there is something which is truly infinite, then there cannot be anything else apart from it. In the Aparoksha Anubhuti, there comes a verse which says, the cause exists in the effect, but the effect does not exist in the cause. So the causation of the cause or the causality of the cause is not there. Which means, gold exists in the ornaments, right? Every ornament, whether it's a bangle, whether it's a ring, gold is within it. But there is nothing called as the ornament or the bangle or the ring in the gold itself. From a higher perspective, there is technically nothing called as the ornament. It is just gold itself that the human mind calls an ornament, because the human mind is conditioned by Maya. It is conditioned by the parameters of time, space and causality. Whenever we see something, we put it and we see it through the framework of Maya, through the framework and through the limitation of time, space and causality. So this is why we see everything with a limitation. Even when the concept of God comes, we say, if God created the universe, who created God? Or where was God before the universe itself? So before, after, all of these terms are rooted in time. But God is beyond time. And what is beyond time, our mind cannot directly get to. So we need to transcend the mind if we have to truly understand what God is as per Vedanta. Now, if there is such a God, which is truly infinite, which is the foundation of existence, is it just theoretical? Were the rishis telling us, just believe this, we have seen it, we are the seers of the truth, you just believe us. Is this the doctrine of Sanatana Dharma? Absolutely not. We find this in many other religions across the world. Maybe a prophet or a leader says something, and the rest of his followers sort of begin to follow him. They themselves do not see the truth, they themselves do not understand the truth, but they begin to interpret the leader's teachings and try to create a culture around it and create a religion or a cult around it. Vedanta is very different. What the ancient rishis wanted us was to see the truth for ourselves, not believe in it. And they said it is actually possible, knowing God is possible. Understanding our God through the intellect might not be possible because of the limitation of the intellect, not because of the non-existence of God. Now, I will take you through a certain logic here. If you are a beginner to this, it might be a little heavy. Just bear with me and try to closely understand what we are trying to discuss here. Now, first of all, Vedanta says everything is one, right? Ananta is the word that is used to describe God. Ananta means limitless in time, space and object. God is everything and everyone, all at once, all in the present moment, and infinite, boundless. This truly means only God exists. Apart from God, nothing else truly exists. But from our perspective, we are hallucinating this dualistic world. The world is real. What you see around you is absolutely real. And it is God itself. But since you are not perceiving it as God, since you are perceiving duality, you are perceiving that I am this, that is someone else, and that is the dog, that is the cat which is separate from me. So this sort of separation and duality is a hallucination. Most people misinterpret Vedanta to say it is nihilistic and it rejects the world. In reality, it embraces the world fully and it sees God in the world and the world in God, and it sees only God. Now, this is the truth, right? Now, how can we get there intellectually, not just as a belief system, but as an experience? Now, let's follow these steps. If there is such a thing that is truly infinite and truly limitless, then that is the only thing which should truly exist. Apart from that, if something else exists, that the very existence of the something else will limit the limitlessness of God. So this means only God exists. Until now it is theory. This is what Vedanta says, that only God exists. And even we are that. Tattvamasi. Because only God exists, you also cannot be anything apart from God in your deepest essence. How to get there? How to understand it and realize it? With this, let's again come back to the verses of the Keno Upanishad and we will begin from there. If we examine carefully what the Keno Upanishad says, it states that which cannot be seen but which enables seeing is God. That which cannot be heard but which enables hearing is God. That which cannot be thought about or that which cannot be understood by the mind but which enables thinking itself is God. And what is it that which cannot be seen but enables us to see? What is it? There is just one thing, that's your awareness, that is your consciousness. You cannot see your consciousness. You are the consciousness itself. How can you see consciousness? Just like this, you cannot hear consciousness. You hear through consciousness. And you cannot think about consciousness because consciousness enables thinking itself. So through this framework, we understood that consciousness might be fundamental. And that is what the ancient Upanishads are pointing us toward in terms of the fundamental reality. Now let's look at your own experience. Let's look at our own experience. Now I'm sitting in nature in this beautiful place, surrounded with trees and plants and birds and butterflies. And as I'm gazing at this magnificent creation, I'm seeing it through my consciousness. I'm seeing it in my consciousness. And everything, all of this is happening in consciousness itself, in my awareness itself. So, in one way, consciousness is the medium through which I am experiencing the world. Ultimately, there is no medium also, there is no difference also. But from our perspective, currently, since we are identified with the ego and we are limited, so we can understand it in this way. Consciousness is the medium through which I am perceiving this world, I am understanding this world, I am looking at the trees and everything else that is around me. So, without consciousness, without that medium, I will not be able to see anything, perceive anything, experience anything, because it is fundamental. Consciousness is fundamental, without which I am not even alive, without which I cannot even open my eyes. In this way, when we examine, we can easily come to a conclusion that the very foundation of our existence is consciousness. Similarly, the very foundation for the entire universe is consciousness. And this jump from the individual awareness to the infinite consciousness cannot happen through logic, because some people argued with me regarding this in the comments. They said, of course, the foundation for our existence is consciousness, because without my consciousness, there is no world. I'm perceiving and I'm experiencing the world in consciousness. So this is fundamental. But how can you say the foundation for the universe is consciousness? The point Vedanta makes here is that there is no individual consciousness or universal consciousness. There is just consciousness. Just imagine that the entire universe and everything that you are seeing fundamentally is the same substance. Just like all ornaments are gold, everything is just one substance. It's not a substance, but at least we can look at it that way. And that substance is consciousness. That is in me, that is in you, that is in everything that we see all around us. And we have identified ourselves with a limited portion of it, and we believe that we are this limited portion, and from this limited perspective we are looking at the world and we are saying that is different and this is different, that came to existence before this, and how can consciousness be the foundation of that? But there is no that in this. The limited identification itself is the barrier. If that is broken, there will not be any craving to understand itself. Because we will simply establish ourselves in what we are, as what we are. And that is the ultimate goal of life. So there is God, which is the foundation of everything, which is that infinite consciousness, without which there is no universe, there is no you and me. There is nothing apart from that. And there is another God that we discussed earlier, which is a thought form, a human construct. And going from the lower God to the highest God is the spiritual journey for a seeker. Our goal should be to understand the reality for what it is. Beyond all books, beyond all scriptures, beyond all religion, we need to understand the truth We should be seekers of the truth, not followers of a particular cult. And that is what Vedanta enables. Upanishads themselves say that all these scriptures are simply pointers of truth, and we need to transcend the scriptures and the books to get to the truth. Shivoham.